No, only I'd just come in. I was hanging up my coat and I knew something was up. My wife, Rita, well, it isn't her real name, but we won't go into that. She doesn't say anything, well, not straight away, but I can tell. "Where have you been?" she said. "Where have I been?" I said, "You know where I've been. I've been to an important meeting at the Dog and Pullet. We had to decide whether this year's fishing trip would be to Scarborough or Piccadilly, London." "There's no fishing in Piccadilly, London," Rita said. She's quick, you know. She sees through things in a flash. "You'd be surprised," I said. "You don't know what goes on there." "I know it's not fishing," she said. "Fishing," I said. "What's fishing got to do with it?" "We have a run out with a couple of stops on the way out and some on the way back. It's just a day's fun. Nobody wants to be bothered with fishing." "But why do they call it the fishing trip?" she said. "It's just what it's called," I said. "You see, there used to be fish." "Where?" she said. "In the canal," I said, "and in the river. But there isn't any there now. There are a few dead ones floating on top and some that light up in the dark, but you couldn't feed them to the cat unless you ate it." "But why?" she said. "What happened to the fish?" "It was that new factory," I said, "the one that makes plastic flowers. They squirted something into the water. The fish cleared off after that." "Oh, no, there's no fishing around here. You can get some in the sea, but you've got to drive miles to get there." "Well," she said, "where are you going? Scarborough or Piccadilly, London?" "Brighton," I said. It came up on the outside and romped home. "Oh," she said. And then she went quiet, broody, you might say, and I knew something was brewing. "Bert's got a job," she said. "Oh, good," I said. "He needs something, does Bert. Keep his mind off it." "Keep his mind off what?" she said. "Never mind," I said. "Keep him out of mischief." "Yes," she said. "I wonder why you've never bothered." "Well," I said, "I like that. I took early retirement, you must remember that." "Yes," she said, "but you weren't working at the time." "All the better reason for taking early retirement," I said. "Gladys said that Bert has been a lot better since he started," Rita said. "He's bound to be better," I said. "It's better for her. He won't be home so much, and that's got to be better for anybody." "Bert's like that," I said. "He hasn't got any gumption on his own account. But if you point him in the right direction... By the way, what is he doing?" "Well," Rita said, "he wanted to be a deep-sea diver, but he hadn't got the levels, so he's got a job as a lollipop lady." "How do you mean?" I said. "Is that what's wrong with him?" "The lollipop lady went off to have a baby," Rita said, "and Bert's taken her place." "But why did they call him a lollipop lady?" I said. "It's got to do with his stamp," Rita said. "They don't have to pay so much." "Well," I said, "he's not likely to have a baby, so that'll be cheaper in the long run." "Well," I said, "I'm pleased for him. I really am. What does he have to do?" "He just waits by the curb and some children come by and take him across the road." "Is that all?" "No, later on they take him back." "Well," I said, "I suppose that's about the best he can manage. You see, people like Bert, they need an aim in life, even if it's just getting across the road." "Well," the way she kept on about Bert and his job, you'd have thought he'd swum the channel single-handed. "It's just that I can't see any future in it. You see, there's streamlined sausages and push-button peas pudding making. Once upon a time, that was all done by hand, and a right mess it was." "Look," I said, "Bert's a right fidget. He can't sit still. That's why your Glad got single beds, because he was waving about all night. It's his nerves, that's all. If he got a good nerve tonic, he'd be all right. He feels guilty all the time, thinks he ought to be doing something, but he's no idea what. The doctor ought to give him something, damp him down. And then there's the uniform. He'll like that. He wore his Boy Scout uniform until he was 42. He's got a cap and an armband," Rita said. "Well, there you are then," I said. "Fancies himself in charge of a load of kids, just his ticket." "It wouldn't do you any harm," Rita said, "get you out of the house. That's all you're thinking about," I said, "your own peace and quiet, so you have more time for that spiritualism. You don't care what I'm doing, standing out there in all weathers. You could walk up and down," she said, "Bert does. I bet, I said, he'll make a right parade of himself. Has he got a mace to swing about? He just likes to be noticed. It's all a big exhibition with him. But the whole business put me in a spot. If Bert can hold down a job, if he can get away with it, anyone he can. I mean, you'd pay Bert to go away. The very sight of him puts your teeth on edge. So I talked it over with Charlie. I knew he'd had a job once, so he'd had some first-hand experience. It's not so bad, Charlie said, as long as you don't take it seriously. I had a milk round. When I got fed up, I took the rest of the bottles back to the yard. But what about the customers, I said. Well, said Charlie, they knew where they could get it. Anyway, they ganged up on me and I got put off. Best thing, really. It was all right for the first week, but the novelty soon wore off. Doing the same thing day after day will soon send you balmy. I wasn't made for that. I'm what you might call adventurous. Me too, I said. That's why I married Rita. But I didn't know then what I know now. What, said Charlie, mind your own business, I said. Well, I could see I wasn't going to get any peace, so I went round to see Harry Evans. He runs a garage and sometimes wants a hand while his regular people have a holiday, so I knew I wouldn't be stuck there permanent-like. So the next time she started, I was ready for her. Took the wind right out of her sails, I'll tell you. How long, she said, how long are you going to sit there scratching? Not long, I said. I'll have to get going in a minute. I've got a job. What time do you start, she said. I'll cut your sandwiches and do your flask of tea. I don't need a flask, I said. There's a machine there where you can get tea or coffee. Only the coffee's not recommended. It squirts out over your trousers. But where, she said, getting all excited. And what are you doing there? Where, I said. There, she said. There's no need to hurry, I said. It's shift work at the garage. Garage, Rita said. In a garage, but you don't know anything about cars. You couldn't pass your test on the pushbike. Cars, I said. Cars? What's cars got to do with it? We don't deal with cars. Oh, she said, well, it doesn't matter as long as you're enjoying it. I just thought you and cars don't mix. Cars, I said. Whatever gave you that idea? This is a garage, a perfectly ordinary garage, just like all the others. We sell newspapers and magazines, logs, sacks of potatoes, milk and bread, Buster burgers, hot or cold, she said. Either, I said. Doesn't much matter with a Buster burger. We sell ice cream, inflatable dinghies, dog meat, pocket pianos, anniversary cards, fertiliser, wallpaper, holiday shorts, beach balls and windbreaks, rubber sandals, herbal cures and frozen TV dinners, stuff like that. Sounds as though we sell everything, Rita said. Of course we sell everything, I said. That's the idea. It was pretty quiet on the late shift. Hardly anyone came in. I sold a few packets of nuts and raisins and a bag of charcoal, but it wasn't what you might call a rush. In fact, I'd nearly dozed off when these two chaps came in, and I could tell from the manner that they were going to be awkward. Fill her up, one said. What? What with? I mean, where is she? Outside, he said, and look at the oil. What's the matter with it, I said. You just dab it on, not too much, and put some on again later, that is, as long as the sun's still shining. He looked at his companion as though one of us had gone balmy. What's the matter, he said. What's the matter with the old geezer? The other one was a bit more polite, although he badly needed a shave. Not that oil, bonehead, he said. Oh, I'm sorry, I said. Cooking oil. You should have said. Cheapest to buy it in one of those big drums last year lifetime. The motor, said the second one. Oil for the motor. The la-di-da. La-di-da, I said. Never mind, he said. Just put the petrol in the car. Car, I said. Oh, you've got a car, have you? Oh, well, that's different. I haven't seen a car in here for ages. Do you mind if I have a look? Petrol, he said. Petrol? Yes, I said. I'm sure I've seen some around here somewhere. I'll hunt around for it. Do you want to come back? It was at this point that the first one turned nasty. He pushed his face very close to mine. Ooh, terrible teeth he had. Bad breath as well. Open the till, he said. There's no petrol in the till, I said. We don't keep it in there. I'm only temporary, but even I know that. Here, put that down, I said. That's a packet of dried blood. You put it on your tomatoes. I don't suppose you've got any tomatoes. No, I can see you're not the type for growing things. A pity we've got a special offer in gooseberry bushes. Well, the first man, he seemed very nervous. He was walking outside all the time and peering down the road. Has he lost someone? I said. You're getting on his nerves, said the second one. If I were you, I should get on with it. But I am getting on with it. I mean, you come in here late at night, demanding petrol and oil. I just don't know where to look for it, that's all. There hasn't been any call for it. Humbugs, ice cream, rock. If you'd wanted raffle tickets or wish drive cards, I could have put my hands on them straight away. Well, I looked outside and this chap had found the pump and was helping himself to the petrol. If you're going to serve yourself, I said, I might as well go home. It's self-service, said the chap who needed a shave. Get the money out of the till. Excuse me, I said, I thought you were supposed to give me money to put in the till. Not this time, he said. This is a hold-up. Well, I said, I wish you'd have made yourself clear. I've started making out the bill now. Oh, well, I suppose I'll have to ring up No Sale to make it right. Then, just to make matters worse, the telephone rang. Hello, said someone, this is your local police patrol. We have reason to believe that you are being held up by two armed raiders. If that is the case, just nod your head. Don't say anything. I'm nodding, I said. Please follow instructions carefully, said the voice. Do anything you can to delay them, but do not endanger life. Oh, I won't, I said. You can count on it. Our patrol will be with you in 10 minutes. You don't think they could make it sooner, I said. Well, they're owed a 10-minute meal break, but I'm sure they'll set off soon. By this time, the car was full of petrol and they were ransacking the place for oil. What's the hurry, I said. Have a cup of coffee or something. But by now they'd found the oil and were pouring it in. How much is it, I said. It should be marked on the can. What's it matter, said the first man. We're not paying for it. I know that, I said, but I've got to account for it, haven't I? Otherwise, they'll be stopping it out of my wages when they do the stock-taking. Then the telephone went again. Have they gone? Said this policeman. No, I said. We're out of stock, I added, just to put them off the scent. We're still waiting a delivery. A delivery of what? Said the policeman. At this time of night? No, no, I said. You don't understand. I'm still nodding. Got it? Oh, right, with you, Chief, said this policeman. Just hang on. They've had the meal. They're just having coffee and then they'll be back on duty. We've had 10 gallons, said the nasty chap. Well, the nastier of the two. We're supposed to get a free gift, he said. A champagne glass, French. Well, you're unlucky, I said. We've finished with them. We're on monkey bars now, or 24 coupons for a tubular chair. I don't want a tubular chair, he said. Well, have a monkey bar, I said. It says champagne glass French, he said. You shouldn't advertise things you haven't got. It's against the law. Then there was a scream and a commotion outside. I knew it, I said. He's put money in that coffee machine. There's something wrong with it. I saw somebody fiddling with it, the man from the dry cleaning shop. But what, he said, what about the champagne glass? I don't think you'll catch it in a champagne glass, I said. It shoots out at all angles. The other one came in with coffee all down his front. I'll sue you, he said. That machine's out of order. Look, I said, you can do what you like. I'm resigning as from this minute. It was never my idea, Bert and his lollipop lady making things difficult. Oh, he gets older and sillier every day.